As we've discussed in previous episodes, agriculture lends its ways to extra risks of accidents and injuries. But did you know that the most common causes of injuries and fatalities in agriculture involve machinery or motorized vehicles? These vehicles are not just big ag equipment and implements either. It includes ATVs and UTVs too. While these vehicles are valuable tools for work, recreation, and transportation, they also pose serious risks when safety practices are overlooked. So for today's episode, we are going to dig into UTV and ATV safety. Welcome to Talking Total Farmer Health. I'm your host, Linda Emanuel. And today, joining us on the mic is Kurt Porterfield. Welcome, Kurt, to the podcast. The mic is yours. Introduce yourself and share a little bit about your work.
Well, Linda, thank you so much and everyone from the AgriSafe community for allowing me to talk with you today. I'm currently the Assistant Director for Facilities and Safety for the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences here at Virginia Tech. And throughout the most recent years, I worked with another department and we did a lot of agricultural safety training grants that was funded by Susan Harwood Grant Program under the Department of Labor. And one of our biggest topics for agricultural safety was ATV safety, where we presented this topic to a lot of the school systems, a lot of the farmers and co-ops here within the Commonwealth of Virginia. And we just had a great opportunity and a great time to be able to go through and introduce and get people thinking about how often ATVs and UTVs are being utilized within the agricultural community and what a risk they are. There's so many people that are out there, so many youth that are getting hurt and injured, and just getting people to be a little more proactive. I don't expect everyone to just go out and not use their ATVs and UTVs, but just because they are a very valuable tool. But we want people to start thinking about what they're doing, doing little things to add up to big things, especially when it comes to safety and what kind of tasks people are doing. We can offer a few suggestions to get people to be a little more proactive about what their situations are and reduce their chances for injuries and illnesses associated from that.
Right. At the end of the day, right? Keeping our farmers, ranchers, and their families safe. And it is a crucial safety topic. There's even a day dedicated to it during National Farm Safety and Health Week. You gave us a great overview of your work and what led you down that path. But personally, how did you get interested in ATV and UTV safety?
Well, I like to speak from experience. I was injured in an ATV accident, I guess, right before I went into the eighth grade. And you know, I still suffer a little setback every now and then with my back because of that injury. And it could have been a whole lot worse than it was. Ineffective training, no training. I did have a helmet on that day, thankfully. But it's just, I look at the opportunity, I look at the numbers of ATVs that you see out on the roads today. We're set up in the mountains of Southwest Virginia, and there's a lot of trails. They have riding trails, and those types of facilities have gained a lot of traction, especially since COVID. And you just think about opportunity. So being involved with that, trying to get people to think before they act and make a difference has really sparked my interest in creating awareness to ATV safety.
Important work, without a doubt, important work. So you've talked a lot about safety, but in thinking about farmers and ranchers and their families, why is safety so important and why should they put that first?
Well, my biggest part, whether it be just ATVs or animal handling or farm machinery equipment safety that I also part of teaching, is you got to look at the population. 2% of the population in the United States are involved in agriculture, and their responsibility as a farmer myself, I'm going to put myself into that 2%. you know, we've got to feed the other 98% of this nation. And along with other nations that we do feed, what happens when we lose that 2%? You know, who is going to take over when you're the only person farming, or your son or your daughter is not one that wants to go into the farm? What's going to happen to the farm? And these are the discussions that's really been brought out from a lot of these trainings, you know, being able to protect those people in any way that we can so that they can enjoy their livelihood, so they can go out and produce a viable, wholesome product for people to eat and rely upon each and every day is important to me. And I want to be able to protect that population the best we can.
Right. Well said. Very well said. So ATV, UTV, right? Tell us a little bit about what those I think most people know, but tell us a little bit about those abbreviations as well as some side offs. So like here in the central part of the United States, we call them side-by-sides. We also have ATVs, but I feel like there's different models out there now, different ways that people can use ATV, UTV, or what you can purchase.
Yeah, a lot of times they are used interchangeably, but if you really want to break down the difference between them, ATVs are more of the smaller ones. They're the ones that are utilized handlebars for steering, you know, one seat, one rider. And that's kind of the golden rule that a lot of ATV manufacturers have. That's what that one seat is for. It's when we get into trouble, when we start adding passengers to those ATVs, that where people get into those serious type of incidents and fatalities. Along those lines, UTVs, you know, they're bigger machines. Some of them may or may not have a roll cage on them, or seat belts, or even an enclosed cab. But the functionality, we've got a lot of features with the UTVs, and they're becoming more and more common on our farms. But generally, how do you steer? You know, if you're using the handlebars, then that's going to be more your ATV versus something that you would use a steering wheel with and would have extra seats in it designed to carry passengers. That's where you would define the UTVs, the utility vehicles.
Gotcha. I can tell you, personally speaking, on our farm, we have side-by-sides, a number of them, and they are a great working tool, right? You can, and we do take them across highways if we need it, but you can haul things, you can go check livestock, crops, whatever it is. And so they're well versatile, and I enjoy driving them as well. So, you know, we talk about data. We love to talk about data here at AgriSafe. So what do national statistics data reveal regarding those rates of injuries and or fatalities? And what are some common causes of those ATV, UTV accidents?
Well, one of the things we have to think about, and I'm not one to really like to talk about fatalities, but the facts are as they may, 500 fatalities per year and over 100,000 serious injuries are associated with ATVs and UTVs. When we want to apply that to the agricultural community, 60% of those fatalities occur in agriculture. And when we talk with, we provided some training classes to our adult learners. You know, I asked the question, do any of you farmers know of anyone that's died in an ATV accident? And almost 100% of the classes that I taught, someone knew someone personally. So there's a name, there's a farmer, there's a locality within the region where we were teaching that was impacted. And that's crucial, because when we think about the average age of the farmer, you know, what's going to happen to that farm, as I said previously. So that impact is huge. One of the interesting facts that we found, we did some data mining in our local region here of Virginia, but you know, the amount of injuries and deaths have really increased about 30% in the last 5 years. That's important to understand because, again, as we're coming out of COVID, you know, a lot of people were at home, and this is where there was a spike in a lot of these incidents where people had the extra time. They were going out, and this is a way for them to break away from, the social interaction. So, and there could be other attributing factors to that, but the impacts of it is real. Think about what happens when a person is injured. You know, the average day that we found was about in the hospital stay from the injury was about 7 days or a little longer. The amount of expenses for that stay was over $125,000. And then about a third of those patients were children. Those are things that we can measure, we can look at and say, wow, this is something that is a problem. We need to do a little more about it in our area, our local area, to be able to educate people. Hey, this is a risk that we have, because in our part of Virginia, we don't have the flat plains that you might have out in Nebraska. Not to discount that, because they're equally as, you know, the risk is real in those areas of the country too. We just have to do a better job of being able to recognize what we're subject to each and every day when we're out there on the farm, and do a better job of being proactive and preventing something from happening.
Absolutely. Those numbers you just shared are astounding, right? I think of those of us that know of someone that lost their life to an ATV, UTV accident, you can remember that moment in time and how it struck you. And you're right, for those principal operators, if that is a severe injury or unfortunately a death, it changes a legacy. It changes everything. So let's turn our attention. Let's think a little bit more strongly about what safety means. Some things that we can do to prevent those injuries and accidents. I can come up with my own ideas, but for those of you that have studied this, what are some easy to do things?
Easy things to do is read your operator's manual. Having that piece of paper, having that booklet available to you, and just taking the time to read it, understand it, and recognize what it says. It's got a lot of good information in there for a reason. Obeying that is important. Reading the warning labels on the ATV, looking at the no riders, understand that it's important for you to wear a helmet. You know, just a better overall understanding of your machine. And one of the other ones that I like to focus on is the inspection of your machine before you operate it. You know, we strive very hard. We created some checklists to hand out to people to get people thinking about their tires, checking their fluids, checking their brakes, understanding that machine and how it can work and how it can easily fail. And if you don't inspect it, how can you expect it to be in good, safe working condition? So there are a lot of things that you could do. We could probably talk about this for another 2 hours, but just having a better understanding of that machine and what its capacity is, what its capability is, and the functionality is really part of the whole process.
Right. Exactly. And I, many times, because my lifestyle is within a farm family, a multi-generational farm family, I often think and state to my own family members that safety starts at the top. Right. Those principal operators, managers, to model good safety, wear the helmets, make sure there's one driver on it, knowing your machine, and then driving within your limits. Know the terrain. That's a big one. Even though we are flat here, you're right. We're very flat. There still exist those holes and those unknown things, especially when you're moving livestock or whatever it is. So great points. So we talk about safety gear, and you and I had a conversation about safety gear before we jumped on this recording, but what are some of those essential pieces of safety gear that every rider should have?
Well, you really got to start. You mentioned start at the top down, and that's easy as parents is trying to lead the example is the helmet. You really got to start with that helmet. Again, as we were talking, it may not be the flashiest thing. It might not be the most convenient thing at times, but it's really key that you wear that helmet when you're using these machines, because if that machine rolls over, that is your best protection from a serious head trauma issue. Kind of like to talk to people about that whole helmet. You know, imagine your head as a watermelon and how easy it is to crush that watermelon on a stone. think of your head as the same thing. It doesn't take a whole lot of impact to create a massive amount of damage and injury to your head. So just be very careful and just take your time, wear your helmet. Start with that. Other things that people seem to want to leave out is long sleeve clothing, long shirts, long pants. I see a lot of people that have injuries because, and they may not be serious, it might be briars or brush, but just having long clothing on is a good piece of personal protective equipment to be able to protect you from those types of injuries. Eye protection is another one. We're riding these things in areas where they're dusty, they're muddy, it might be, you know, has some bad weather or flying objects if you're riding in tandem. I know I've been moving cattle with my ATV back in the day when I was using those, and I'd have mud that would sling off the cattle's hooves and go right into your face. So if without some type of eye protection on, preferably goggles. Goggles are going to give you a much better level of protection for your, you know, facial area. And then boots. At least have some type of closed-toe shoe, but boots are the preference for those. Again, because rocks, briars, brush, all of those things can entangle. And I will mention that if you are wearing boots or shoes, that if you're using closed-toe shoes, always take the time and make sure that you tuck in your extra shoe strings, because there's many times that shoestring, if it gets loose, it could get entangled in the wheel and the machine. We talk with people that, yeah, I had long strings on my boots and it got untied and it actually rolled up in the tire and actually pulled me off of the machine. So be aware of that. Try to tuck those things in and be very tight with that. Gloves are another one. You know, again, for our hand operation, again, from any rocks or other debris. So yeah, just covering your body from really head to your feet is key for giving you the best experience and the best level of protection for that.
Exactly. I often say there's no room for flip-flops in agriculture. And so, right, having those closed-toed shoes, and as well as everything else that you talked about, but it's protecting your skin and protecting your body. So when we talk about ATVs and UTVs in that training, even as adults, how important is that formal training, and where can people access some trainings?
Well, training is everything. And unfortunately, when we think of training on the farm, who's going to give it? It's going to be the parents or the grandparents. And that's been traditional. We need to try to move away from that. If we can get some more formalized training, I know AgriSafe and a lot of the other entities out there offer some programs. Get connected with your local farm bureau or other agencies that work on that. We've worked a lot with them. If those aren't available to you, I mean, always free is good, right? Just because it's free, it doesn't mean that it's not valuable. But those are some great resources. Extension agents play a crucial role in being able to offer that to some of their programs that are out there. If you can't find any of those, then I definitely want to recommend talking with the dealer. I mean, that's really where it should start. If you're buying off your machine off of a John Deere dealer or a New Holland or a Kubota or Yamaha, whoever, wherever you get your machine, that's one just beyond the operator's manual. You need to be asking about some formalized training that's out there and available for you. Online, there's a very good resource that I recommend a lot, the Specialty Vehicle Institute of America. They provide a lot of good online resources, and I'm sure there's others out there that can give you some good tips, some good knowledge, some very successful information to educate folks on what the risks are about using that ATV out there on the farm or for recreation. But yes, those are usually my top places that I recommend that have a lot of good resources out there to get people interested and more knowledgeable about ATV and UTV safety.
Yeah, exactly. Great resources. And if you have a child, and this is personally speaking, but if you have a youth that's interested in ATV, UTV riding, check out local 4-H programs. That's where our three sons were trained is going through that program. And they can start young and continue until they age out of 4-H, so to speak. So there's also an opportunity there. So when we begin thinking safety and in some safety protocols, are there differences in some of those protocols, such as machine size that's appropriate for the rider?
Oh, absolutely. And again, this is going to vary by state. A lot of it's limited to size. And here's the reality behind it. We tend to think of ATVs less than 90 cc's or less. No one's allowed to operate those unless you're in Virginia, per se, from age 12 to 16. Anything less than that, it's limited to 70. But you think once that 16-year-old gets on that ATV that's above 90 cc. Well, here's the reality. 90 cc's are very small ATVs, and they don't, being realistic and honest, they don't have a lot of functionality out on farms. They don't have a whole lot of power. They're very small, and they're very limited in what we find ourselves doing. So when you go out and look at and did a spot check of the average farm, they're going to have ATVs that are 450, 500, 600, 7, up to 800 cc's. These are big machines. They're very heavy. But yet we're not going to have a small one for our 15-year-old that's growing up on the farm for that person to use. So how easy is it for that 15-year-old to get on that machine that's 800 cc and then not have the physical strength, the ability, the knowledge to be able to control that? So again, you got to refer back to your laws that you have within the state that you reside. That's a good guideline to start. And you know, the other one is learning how to say no. Kids want to mimic what their parents or their grandparents do out there on the farm. They want to be helpful. They want to learn. They want to be older than what they really are. But yet the limitations of that age, of their strength, of their knowledge and experience is really crucial to their safety. So learning how to say no and just having them wait, wait a little bit, get a little older till we can get a little more confidence behind these machines. And then there's going to be plenty of time for that child to go out and do some work. Just let them be a child for a little bit and not let them get injured is what I try to recommend.
Absolutely. I think about how many parents wish they would have, right? I wish I would have waited.
Absolutely.
And as a resource, the National Farm Center has age-appropriate tasks for children in agriculture. And I believe one of them they address is ATV, UTV riding. And we'll make sure to put those resources as well as the other great resources that Kurt has mentioned in our show notes. So in your wealth of experience and time you've spent with ATV, UTV safety, Kurt, what is just one piece of safety advice that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, I think I've already said it. You got to start with a helmet. If I had to choose one, that's my number one go-to is wearing that helmet. Because what we do see a lot of head-related injuries with it. That's what you're most at risk of. And if I'm limited to one, then that's going to be my go-to. But specifically, when you look at your helmet, you have to look at it. I mean, we have standards in industry for a lot of reasons, and you really want to look for a helmet that's a DOT approved or SNELL approved type helmet. Those are the ones that have side and front and back all around impact resistance on that. Bicycle helmets is not the kind of helmet that I'm talking about. I'm talking about one that's specifically designed for ATV, UTV use, motorcycle use, one that's approved and has a hard enough composite in that shell to resist that impact for you.
Very good. And make sure it fits, right?
Absolutely. That's another one of our problems that we have. The people are so reluctant to have options. If we've got different size helmets, if the person's helmet doesn't fit them, then they're not going to wear it. So it's time to get a bigger size helmet, one that's going to fit. And By today's standards, they're not that expensive. I mean, there's a lot of controls and features that they have on them for ventilation to make them more comfortable, but don't be afraid to spend and invest a little bit of money. I just told you about the statistics of what a hospital will stay. That's a cheap insurance to ward against that hospital stay, definitely.
For sure, right? And if you need some help with that correct sizing or fit, I always say look to Extension, right? They've got so many great experts that are working in these areas, and they can help you to decide where to purchase it and how to look for that correct size.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up, and this has been an interesting conversation, thank you for your time, Kurt, of course, but is there any other information that you think is important or you'd like to share?
Oh, absolutely. Riding ATVs and utilizing UTVs out there on the farm to perform work, they're an essential part of our daily routines. One of the things we like to promote is learning how to be active riders. Okay. Active riders is knowing the terrain, being able to control your speed, avoiding steep slopes is going to be your best way to prevent the unexpected from happening. You know, being able to recognize your terrain, evaluate it, how bad can it be, and then being able to control it. For in areas of the country that have steep slopes, being able to limit traversing slopes greater than 15 degrees is going to help reduce your chances in overturning that machine. And speed. Speed has a lot to do with accidents that we see out there, and being able to control that speed, reduce that speed, especially if the laws allow you to ride these ATVs and UTVs on the road. Understand that those tires are not designed for roadway use. They have a whole lot more grip to them, to the pavement, and your maneuverability is limited at that higher rate of speed. And just a minor adjustment could result in an overturn. So watch that speed as well. And again, any other laws that are out there that apply to your region of the country, then I certainly suggest you to check those out and make sure that you're adhering to those.
Exactly. And if I could add, we've talked a lot about ATVs, but when it comes to UTVs, there are seatbelt options. And so use those seatbelt options. I know farmers can be kind of clever in taking off the governor or readjusting it so they don't have to wear that seatbelt, but seatbelts save lives.
Absolutely. Yeah, those UTV seatbelts are key, especially with a tractor. It's no different than a tractor. If that rollover protection is put on that machine for a reason. If you turn it over, and UTVs will turn over. UTVs cause serious injuries and fatalities. So we got to respect those, especially when we're in environments working. It's important to understand that those safety features are our key to success and our livelihood. One other thing I would like to add, just because farming can be stressful and aggravating at times, is try to keep your emotions in check when you're operating these machines. If you're frustrated, if you're upset, if you're angry, then safety is not going to be the first on your mind. And I found that a lot of times, and again, this is in discussion with people, I find myself being safer when I'm calmer. When I'm angry and I'm trying to get things done, I think about safety less. And I've asked that question in a lot of our training classes, and overwhelmingly, a lot of people agree with that. More often than not, when we're angry and we're trying to use these machines, that's when something breaks, something gets wrong, or I have a near miss. So just got to keep your emotions in check. It'll be okay. Tomorrow's going to be another day. Let's just make it a good one today so that we don't have problems to have to deal with tomorrow.
That's a great wrap up. Couldn't have said it better myself, Kurt. Thank you for your time today. I do appreciate your insight in this discussion.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, folks, that's another great conversation and a wrap. Thank you again for tuning into another episode. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast to hear more from AgriSafe on the health and safety issues impacting agricultural workers. We are always open to new ideas or stories at AgriSafe, so please feel free to connect with us by email at info@agrisafe.org and title that email TTFH Podcast. You can also get our attention by using the hashtag TTFHpod on Twitter. To see more from AgriSafe, including webinars and our newsletter, visit us at www.agrisafe.org. This episode was created by AgriSafe Network, directed by Laura Siegel, hosted by me, Linda Emanuel, edited by Joel Sharpton for ProPodcastingServices.com, with guest Kurt Porterfield.